Dear friends, my name is Avneet and joining us today on the phone line is Indian High Commissioner to Australia, Gitesh Sarma. High Commissioner, a very warm welcome to SBS Punjabi.
Thank you so much, Avneet. Always a pleasure to be with SBS. You're doing such wonderful work. SBS is keeping us all together and keeping us in good cheer during these pandemic times. So thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you, Mr. Sarma, for those kind words. To begin with, Mr. Sarma, global celebrities, public figures have weighed in on social media with their views on the ongoing farmers' agitation in India against the government's tree farm laws, drawing international attention towards the issue. Here in Australia, too, the ripples from the farmers' movement are being felt. What is your take on the issue?
I think today is a global world, so news travels fast. Many years back, you would have been waiting for a newspaper for 3 months, 4 months. So let's put it in perspective that these are important developments in India. And naturally, with India's rising profile and stature, and also with a vibrant diaspora, that people take interest in news related to India, which doesn't naturally lead to the next thing, that whether others can participate in decision making which is internal to India. We know that in Australia, also in other countries, there's a lot of sensitivity about outside actors interfering in Australia. So in all these countries, there is that perspective that each country, as we are democracies, we're open and we're transparent. You can see what we are and you can take interest. So we are always open. India is an open country. About whether the celebrities are right or wrong, that I leave it to you. But certainly, if you saw Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau, he spoke to Prime Minister Modi yesterday and he was very grateful for vaccines. So there are multiple kinds of levels of engagement. So let's not lose that sense of perspective.
Mr. Sarma, if you look at what's happening in Australia, a lot of Indian community members gathered at Melbourne's Federation Square last Sunday to show their solidarity with the ongoing agitation. Then many of them, they come from farming backgrounds and their families are also sitting in protest at New Delhi's borders. Will you be addressing their concerns?
Well, I'm very happy that there's a strong, vibrant diaspora, as I said, and it's nice that they have emotional connect with India. They take interest in India. And since they live in Australia and they have great familiarity with Australia's own successes of its agriculture, I'm sure they will be in a position to transmit the best practices that go with agriculture. Be sure that India is a democracy. The government is open to engagement with our people. People in India, we engage with them. All sections, and whether it's minorities, farmers, soldiers, ex-soldiers, with everyone, we are open. It's a free society, and I think India is one of the most open societies. So I am sure that what is going on in India, our government is ready for any dialogue, just a phone call away. As far as Australia is concerned, well, that's for Australian society really to see. But let me tell you one thing, Avneet, that I really did read about Australia's own agriculture. And if you give me a moment, I can mention my own impressions, that what I gathered, that in India, there is a great need for reform. There's no doubt. And the Food and Agriculture Organization has also said that our farmers have done fantastic work in India. Indian farmers in India have done fantastic work. Fantastic. But there is a great need for structural reforms set by Food and Agriculture Organization, an international organization of global standing, a universal organization which unites all countries with respect to agriculture. We have said so. So we have severe challenges which need attention. And you would be astonished if I told you this, that Australia's, I believe the wheat production is almost 25 million tons per year. That is the wastage in India. The extent of wastage of India is equal to Australia's production itself. So since we have a strong, vibrant community here, and they're familiar with Australian practices, we say they are living bridges between India and Australia. I'm sure they would, based on their Australian experience, what are the best farming practices. Certainly, it'll be very nice if they were to pass on this kind of practices, knowledge, scientific knowledge, and we will certainly benefit from that kind of engagement.
Absolutely. And High Commissioner, bringing the spotlight back to India, in a press statement issued on 3rd of February by the government of India after the Republic Day tractor rally that descended into violence and chaos, the statement read, and I quote, "The Indian police forces handled these protests with utmost restraint," unquote. But since then, High Commissioner, hundreds of protesters have been arrested. The Human Rights Agency has also called on the authorities in India to exercise restraint and to find equitable solutions. What do you have to say about that?
I think democratic societies will handle such situations. You are right in saying that the incidents were not nice, not pleasant, and certainly people have a legitimate right to convey their grievances in a democracy, but violence and desecration of sacred sites and national emblems and national sites, that is not something which is nice. I'm sure that genuine farmers who we greatly value would not have gone along with that kind of deviation. Certainly it was not nice, but believe me, we handle things in India in a very, very responsible way. I'm sure that if you have a global comparison, how people handle, ours is the most open country on earth, so it's visible. So I'm sure that you have seen all over the world, some countries are extremely closed and you would not even know what's going on there. But as far as we are concerned, we greatly respect our farmers. They had the permission to conduct demonstration, and there were some people who did not adhere to those norms and the kind of guidelines. I think the police everywhere is trained to handle well, and India is one of the most democratic countries on earth, with due respect to other countries as well. And we have a wonderful relationship with Australia because of that we are two democratic countries. So let's celebrate that fact that we are democracies, and we handle all kinds of situations as they come along, keeping in mind that people have genuine opportunities they should have in conveying their, in entering into dialogue, constructive dialogue with the government. The government should also give them those avenues, opportunities. So the testimony to that is the ongoing dialogue. If there is flexibility on both sides, I'm sure that things will develop in the right way that everyone is taken care of.
Absolutely. We are all hoping for an amicable solution to that problem. High Commissioner, moving on, it's been a packed year ever since your arrival in Australia. You landed when the devastating bushfires had just struck. Then came the pandemic, which brought a slew of challenges. And one of the biggest challenges was to facilitate the return of hundreds of Indian nationals who got stuck here when the pandemic hit. We saw a massive effort from your end to facilitate their safe return. We understand that now not many remain stuck, but there's still no dearth of visa holders and Australian citizens, residents who are keen to go home, but there aren't enough flights operating between India and Australia. When can we expect these flight operations to go back to normal?
Well, let me first of all here congratulate the members of the Indian community. I think you mentioned it was a difficult year with the bushfires and then followed by pandemic, but I see only positives here. That the way the Indian community came forward, first when I came in November 2019, the people, the Indian community was at the forefront in providing help, relief. They were supporting the fire people. They were supporting the affected communities. So I think there's a positive spin to this, positive aspect to this. And I think it brought out the best in people, and that's the beauty of the Indian community in Australia, that they are seen as one community which integrates well, and be irrespective of religion or origin. Look at our Sikh farmers, gurdwaras, they opened their langars and they were supplying food to the needy. So I would start by actually talking about the positive side, that I think I was really enthused to see the way that Indian community had integrated. Whenever I had a chance to talk to the leadership, they always mentioned this, that Indians are special, and we are one community which looks at everybody around and sees who is most in need. So having said that, it was also a fantastic experience to you know, work with the community to organize some of these flights, and it was a real challenge. I wouldn't say that, you know, everybody would always be satisfied the way that we did the flights. But then, you know, when you are in charge, sometimes you have to take tough decisions and you have to see who's the most needy. It'll never be a popularity game. It has to be a game where everybody is taken care of, but you have to have prioritization. So I think in the end, I think things went well. We also learned no one was prepared for the pandemic. To be honest, Air India has played a very, very special role in maintaining this bridge between India and Australia. It's not easy to maintain, let me be again very candid. On this side, from Australia to India, they can take a full load. But when they come back because of Australia's own restrictions, you know, for very valid and their own reasons, we respect those reasons, there are very limited number of seats. So when an aircraft comes almost empty and goes back full, but it still won't recover that kind of, incomes to sustain the flights. So it's a challenge, but it's a great thing that Air India, and with the support of the community, they have been organizing these flights and keeping us together. Now, as things move, in the sense of control over the pandemic, greater trust in movement of people, Australia also lifts some of those restrictions and arrivals. I'm sure this is all subject to Australia's own assessment. So we respect Australia's own concerns. So it will evolve, and I'm sure that people coming back from India also, they will find ways of catching the flight without too much delay or difficulties.
Absolutely.
So I think it can only improve. But it was a difficult job, but in the end, thanks to cooperation of all of you, it worked well. And I think the final thing would be to return to normalcy as and when the pandemic is more under control, vaccinations, etc., etc. I'm sure that we will come back to more closer to normal life.
Absolutely. Normalcy right now seems like a distant dream, but we're all hoping to be there. High Commissioner, a lot of international students and work visa holders who are currently living in Australia, they've lost jobs. Some of them have suffered income losses in the wake of the pandemic, which was bound to happen. Now, what efforts have been made by the Indian High Commission in Australia to address their needs?
Well, I think we remain in close touch with Australia at all levels. And ultimately, see, they are part, they would be, they're very greatly valued as, international students in this country. And whenever we'll be engaged with the educational authorities here, they try to, always make things as comfortable for our students as possible. No one was really prepared for something like the pandemic, the scale, the kind of everybody was affected. And initially, you were not really knowing what to do. So many of the universities also were struggling. But they did recover, and then they came forward with their own schemes, their own kind of long-term plans. They all realized that ultimately, that if they get international students to come here with the confidence that they will be looked after, then the universities have, long-term prospects taken care of. So Indian students are very, very important, and I think the group of eight of the universities and the other universities also, they remain in touch with us, and whatever is possible, they always try to, look with a positive frame when ideas, suggestions come. So again, it's something that as Australia's economy, it's on the recovery path, as we can all see. As it improves, universities improve, as students start coming also from India and elsewhere. So things will again improve. If the overall environment is better, I'm sure, these little issues, these other important issues will be addressed.
Absolutely. There are hundreds who are waiting for their return to the universities and campus studies. High Commissioner, on the front of bilateral relationship, we've been strategic partners since 2009. Australia and India have enjoyed strong political, economic and even community ties. Now, we saw a new high during the virtual summit between the two prime ministers in June last year. We also tasted some samosas and witnessed Twitter diplomacy between the two leaders. Now, what can we expect of the bilateral relationship between the two countries in times to come?
I think you said it, that in 10 years, from 2009 or 11, you know, from that time when we had a strategic partnership. In about 10 years, you take from strategic to comprehensive strategic partnership. That doesn't happen very often. But our two countries, we are really now in a stage where we can say we are special partners, you know. We're extremely comfortable with each other and things are falling in place. And it's this virtual summit you mentioned that it provides the overall framework. Now, on that basis, you know, when we say comprehensive, that it's not just a word. You know, comprehensive literally means that we are very, very comfortable in any area of cooperation. So you'll be happy to know that, you know, things are coming back to normal. And in several segments, whether it's trade or, you know, the health sector or mining sector or any other sector, IT sector, in every sector, you know, there is activity based on the understandings reached at high levels. So there's intense activity, sometimes you could say background activity also going on. So we can only expect this trajectory to be maintained during this period, you know, as things improve. We are also on the COVID side also, you know, the scientific knowledge, we tend to exchange that also. We have our own unique circumstances in which we work. So this is a very, very special phase. Yes, you did mention about cricket also, and I certainly, let me again, you know, let me congratulate the Indian team which won the series, and it was a proud moment. But at the same time, let me say what a fantastic series it was, and the Australian side also put up a great show. Any lover of cricket looks forward to India versus Australia. Many of the Australian cricketers play in the IPL in India, and their own performances, they're loved in India as well, and old and the new cricketers from Australia. So this is a very, very special aspect of our relationship, but this is not the only aspect. And now it's a very, very broad-based relationship. And when we use the word strategic, I said comprehensive is covers every area, and strategic means long-term. It's not tactical or just for 1 year or just one deal. It's, we are here for the long haul. That India, Australia are very comfortable in the Indo-Pacific region. We share similar approaches. We are democracies. We are multicultural. We are very diverse. We value diversity. So I think this is a phase we had all dreamt about, and now it's unfolding before our eyes.
Absolutely. High Commissioner, you spoke about a relationship, you know, which is in for a long haul and strategic and comprehensive. We understand that, you know, there must be some talks going on between the two countries regarding the plight of temporary visa holders and students who are stuck offshore. You skirted over the issue in the earlier question. But then are there any talks? Is there any hope for those who are stranded offshore?
Well, I think, as far as Australian, you know, government is concerned, I would leave it for the Australian authorities to give those clarifications on the flights, on the visas, and the other kinds of aspect-related aspects. But let me reiterate that I have no doubt that the Australian government would be very, very sympathetic to India. They always look, the first instinct is to make things happen, to make things possible. I think it may be difficult to separate certain things from Australia's own internal approaches to dealing with the pandemic and recovering from that and coming back to normalcy. So, you know, these are all unique situations. But I think, you know, I'm very confident that Australian authorities are always very sympathetic and friendly. And as far as we are concerned, we are also ready. I told you that it's very challenging to sustain flights between India and Australia. But it's important to sustain the flights. Imagine if they had no connections at all. You know, so Air India in very difficult conditions. They come empty and go full. So if they were full on both directions, you know, the airlines run on commercial basis, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we should give credit that we are coming out of something. We want things to move faster. It will happen, and things are improving. In India also, the pandemic situation is, you know, very much under control. Things are improving. The vaccination program is going well. So we have a lot to look forward to. And as things improve, things will come to more normal.
And High Commissioner, before we let you go, is there any message that you'd like to deliver to the Indian community here in Australia?
I would say that, you know, this is the most wonderful thing that, you know, we have one of the best diaspora communities here, which has integrated well, which brings very special skills, and which is, you know, the Australian way of life. They respect, at the same time, they take deep interest in India. If you were looking at India closely, please don't worry. Our government is very, very sensitive to, you know, all kinds of requirements. We did a great job during the pandemic, you know, taking tough decisions. Governments are all about taking leadership and taking those tough decisions. But they also have remain always open to good ideas, good suggestions. And you, as the diaspora here, who know India well and who know Australia well, so you're in a position to generate good ideas that where we can learn from. There's no shame in learning from each other. And I think we're learning best practices. So we would definitely look forward to a kind of relationship where good ideas go back and forth, and that warmth that you sustain through your friendship with you know, both sides, Indian, you with your relations, with your families, and here as well, the good image that you have kept for India. I think that is a very, very kind of strong element of our partnership. So I would celebrate the diaspora, and you will have more and more prominent names coming here. It takes a generation to, when the youngsters grow into great scientists, politicians, sports people. So I'm really very excited about our diaspora community, to see them so visible, such a vibrant community. And I was really touched and moved during these crisis moments. I was really moved, I should say that again and again, you know, that how selfless the service they rendered to all those people in distress, and not just to Indians. So,
absolutely.
So thank you so much. Through SBS, I'd like to convey a very big thank you to each one of you.
Thank you, High Commissioner. You were very generous with your time. Thank you for taking out the time and joining us on the program.
Thank you very much, and have a lovely day.